was a fight. Bichon.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Evolving Angler Podcast. I'm hanging out with Tony Polson and Timothy Howard. Tony and his wife are the owners of a fresh new shop here in Kentucky called Kayaks and More. When exactly did you guys open, Tony?
We had our grand opening, Nicholas, March the 20th. We had anticipating and had plans of like doing a soft opening the last February. Been doing a grand opening the 1st of March, and I had a few little health issues and whatnot, so that delayed us. And so we ended up having our grand opening on March 20th.
What kind of sparked the interest in starting a shop?
You know, it's something we've looked at. It was in the works for quite some time, which we live, you know, a mile and a half from Nolin Lake and the dam and the tailwaters of Nolin, and 30 minutes from Rough River, 30 minutes from Barron River Lake and from Barron River and the Green River, a few minutes from Mammoth Cave National Park. I mean, we're just in an area that has so much to offer, you know, to the outdoor enthusiast. And we would sit here on the weekends and, you know, it was constant kayaks and canoes and boats and really no one locally. No one independent, at least, other than the big box stores that really service the kayak community. And to be honest with you know, we weren't always pleased with how they serviced us. You know, so that's something that I guess we sat for a while and thought, well, someone needs to do this. And then after a while, we thought, well, maybe that's us. So after about a year and a half or 2 years, we stepped out on the limb and here we are.
Well, it's awesome to see another shop open up. I know there's, you and I kind of talked off air. It seems like it's really difficult right now to get a kayak. And it seems like as soon as they get in the shops, they're selling. And I'm sure you guys having that same, well, I don't want to call it a problem because you're selling a lot of kayaks, but it's hard to keep stuff in stock. But it's really good to see another shop open up and offer opportunities for people to buy another kayak. And well, I'll talk about you real quick, Tim. I know you and I have become pretty good friends this past year. We fished, you know, a lot of the same events, and you're a lot better tournament fisherman than I am, and you fish a lot more events than I do. It's really good to have you on, and you're associated with Kayaks and More as well. I believe you're on a pro staff, correct?
Yeah. You know, we met this last year, and they brought me in here to fish out of one of their boats and stuff, represent them out in the tournaments and whatnot.
No, it's been a tough year so far, just from the couple events that I've shared with you. The conditions haven't been great. It just seems like it can be tough some days to put a bass in a kayak, but you know, you've been grinding it out, and I've been seeing a lot of fish you've been posting lately. So hopefully you can continue to grind it out and finish well with the BKBF trail and maybe some other events you're fishing.
Yeah. Once again, you know, it's been a little rough this year. The BKF has, you know, seems like every time I go fish a tournament, seem to have a bad day this year, but you know, we'll get turned around.
Tony, was you always into fishing like growing up?
Yeah, I was actually born about an hour and a half or 2 hours east of here in Albany, Kentucky, Clinton County. And in Clinton County, if you know the area, on one end of the county is Lake Cumberland and the other end of the county is Del Hollow. So I was doomed from birth. You're born there, you learn to fish. So, you know, it's something I've always loved. And, you know, as a child growing up, and I think all of us can relate, and most of your listeners, you know, my dad was never a big fisherman or nothing. So incidentally, we never had a boat or anything. And I fished a lot of bank fishing and things of that nature. And, you know, you would, wherever you were fishing from, well, that spot over there that you just could not get to from the bank was always so appealing. And that's what I love. And I sure didn't coin this term, but it's what I love about the little plastic boats. You know, it gives people an opportunity to get to that spot, you know, that they might not otherwise be able to get to. And for us, you know, in our area, in a lot of other areas of the state and of the United States. We saw these independent shops out there that, you know, man, kayaks and canoe, it's a community. And I think, you know, in the brief time we've been able to be associated with it, full of some great folks, you know, they are so helpful, and so many people in the industry have been such a big help to us so far.
Oh yeah. That's good that you got that support. And you know, like I said, bringing Tim on to the, pro staff with you guys, I don't think you could have picked anybody better. Just from what I know from Tim and talking to him and becoming his friend, phenomenal angler and a really good guy. I don't know the process of how you guys, like, what, well, if you don't mind elaborating on that process of how you went to select.
There again, it wasn't an original idea. Okay. There's not many original ideas come from this head. So, my dad always told me to go to school on the other man. So I watched what a lot of smart people have done and tried to take that and put my own spin on it. And, you know, a lot of the really good independent kayak shops and, you know, as we see it on the national fishing tours and whatnot, you know, they have an ambassador or a pro staff member out there. And we just thought it was a good way to get our name out and the word out. You know, some things that we look for, which naturally someone that was fishing the tournaments, you know, someone that knew what they were talking about. We talked to Tim and some other applicants. We actually reached out on Facebook, on social media, you know, and told people what we were trying to do. And we had people that, you know, contacted us and said, hey, this is what I do. We would love to have the opportunity. And, you know, like I said, some of the things that really drawed us to him, which, and especially this year, you know, he's a local angler and fishes this area. We had, some applicants from out of state and some really good ones. But we thought with, Tim, we love what he does with social media and the post, and he's real active in social media. And he's just a pretty good guy too, you know, Nick?
Well, I'm glad everybody likes him.
But we've been really pleased, you know, and I know just adding what you guys are talking about. Guys, this is without a doubt one of the worst springs that I've ever shot for fishing. I mean, it's been horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been tough. That's what I was telling you. I'm hoping LifeScope kind of changes some things for me. It probably won't, because I, you know, I'm not a great angler. I get lucky every now and then, but I'm hoping LifeScope, I don't know. It may, like I was telling you, Tony, it may just put me, I'm ADHD, and it seems like I can get really sidetracked really quickly. And so I will forget I'm probably even fishing a tournament, and I will get so focused on one fish not biting, and I'll probably sit there 2 hours trying to get it to bite. Like it'll probably be worse for me than it is better.
Hey, if it's the right fish, it may be worth it.
Yeah, maybe. But once again, it's good to have both of you on. I've been wanting to come down and check out the shop, and I know you're a couple hours away from me. Me being here in Georgetown, which is not a far drive if you're going to buy a kayak.
Right.
I drove further than that to buy my second kayak, and then I drove all the way to Cincinnati, which is about 1 hour and 20 minutes from here, to get, you know, the one I have now. So 2 to 3 hours, even 4 hours, if for the right kayak or right boat, you know, people will drive it. And I know guys that drove 3 states to get a boat. So
that's how it was here before they opened this shop. You know, if you wanted anything other than what the big box stores had, you'd been driving several hours.
Yeah. Our farthest customer was from north of Indianapolis. Come in and bought an Autopilot 120.
Nice.
So that was our farthest customer. Up until that time, we actually have a couple of canoes that are sold. They're still in the shop, but they are sold, and some folks from Minnesota are coming to get those. So that will be our new farthest customer so far.
And now, Tim, are you located pretty close to the shop?
Yeah, you know, I actually live probably less than a mile from here. You know, I'd say it's probably close to 3/4 of a mile, so it ain't far. Less than a 5-minute drive.
That's real convenient then.
Nice. Yeah, I come by here all the time.
Tony, if you want to go ahead and tell me kind of like where you guys are located, for the listeners' sake, I guess your address, where you're located, and how people can get in touch with you, be it phone number or social media. I know you guys got Facebook. If you want to kind of elaborate on all that, just.
Which we're located in Edmondson County. We're located in a small community called Bee Spring, Kentucky, just a few minutes from from Nolin Lake. We are about, for the listener that knows the area, we are about halfway in between Brownsville, north of Brownsville, and south of Litchfield, Kentucky, which is just off the Western Kentucky Parkway, right on Highway 259. We're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, Tuesday through Thursday from 9 in the morning until 6:30, and Fridays and Saturdays 7 to 7. I'm not here for daily operations. My wife, Kim, runs the day-to-day business. You know, I usually try to get in unless I'm out of town on work. You know, I'm here late and late of evening and of the night. And then on Saturdays, I usually stay in the shop all day, but couldn't do it without her. Well, she retired a few years ago, and an idle mind is a terrible thing. So we thought we should open her business up. So, she runs the day-to-day operations. We do have a presence on, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook has been our, social media of choice and has really been good for us. You can go to Kayaks and More. Also, you can go to our website, which is kayaksandmoreonline.com. And you can, call us at 270-286-7001. Or you can email us at kim@kayaksandmoreonline.com. Inventory is not great on kayaks right now, but it looks like we are going to get a few fishing models in, hopefully in August. I talked to our manufacturer, which we are an Old Town and Ocean Kayaks dealer. I'm definitely a proponent of whatever you need to do to get on the water. I support you, which we made a conscious decision when we went into this business that we were only going to carry USA-made models. We've worked with several different manufacturers, and because of the current state of labor and transportation and manufacturing and everything in such short supply, especially on the kayak end, you know, resin being in such high demand and plastic and prices being at all time high on those, we just weren't able to bring in a lot of other brands this year. So Old Town and Ocean Kayaks, from Johnson Outdoors have been our brands. Like I said, we're working with several other U.S. Manufactured kayak manufacturers currently. And hopefully, when spring 2022 hits, we'll have several new manufacturers we'll be bringing into the shop.
Nice. Now, Tim, you are in what kayak is it you're in? You're in an Old Town.
It's the Old Town Sportsman PDL 106.
Okay. You've been using that most of this year, right?
Yeah. Ever since the second tournament of the season, I've been in it.
You liking it so far?
Oh, yeah. I've got zero complaints with the boat so far. You know, it does great out there on the water. It's real stable. You know, I can stand up, fish. You know, I can be out there all day and my back and nothing's hurting at the end of the day. So, you know, that's a pretty good boat.
Yeah, it makes a big difference when you start getting into a little bit better kayak. Like Tony and I talked before the podcast, having that upgraded kayak from like a Sundolphin or something, it seemed like I flipped my Sundolphin a ton. My back would ache, and having something like an Old Town, getting into these better kayaks truly makes a difference when you're out on the water all day fishing these events. I know when you and I met up after a tournament, I think it was Cumberland, I seen your kayak and man, I immediately wanted one. But yeah, that's a super nice kayak. I wanted to ask how you liked it because it looked really comfortable and it looked like it was definitely getting the job done on the water. So.
Oh yeah. Like I said, I'm hardly no fatigue at the end of the day, you know, out there 7-8 hours just on a normal day fishing and fine coming out of the boat as, you know, when I was in one of the smaller boats or something, you know, yeah, back was hurting. Even, you know, I mounted stadium seats and stuff like that in the smaller boats, but you know, you still, you know, there's no way to make one of them real comfortable if you're going to be out there for hours. You know, just having a boat you can stand up in makes a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. And you were out on the water today, wasn't you?
Yeah. I went out this morning for a little while.
Where'd you go to?
I went up on Nolin for a little bit. You know.
Is that your?
Yeah, that's my local lake up here. It's about 10 minutes from the house.
Did you catch some bass?
Yeah, I caught 4 bass this morning and 2 catfish. So.
I think it's you I've been seeing online slaying the catfish, bass fishing.
Yeah, man, I am killing catfish. I don't know what the deal is, but, you know, I've caught 5 or 6 from the kayak in like last week or two.
I don't know if it's catfish spawn. I don't know enough about it. I've heard people
talk
about it.
They're coming up in the shallows of spawn is what it is.
Okay. I was going to say, I heard some people talk about it. Probably need to enter some catfish tournaments right now and just throw some bass lures because you're killing it.
They seem to love those bladed jigs.
Yeah. So. I caught one this morning. I caught a flathead this morning, a 4-pound flathead on a bladed jig this morning.
Wow.
First of the day, like 5:30.
Oh, I guess, do you catfish much? Or either of you catfish much? Is that
right? Very little. I used to. I've got some catfish rod and reels, but, you know, I don't. You know, it's one of them things every now and then one of my buddies or something wants to go, I'll jump in and go fishing with him.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that, you know, I'm a multi-species angler, and something I've not done much of is catfish. And one thing I'm looking to do, totally off subject from the podcast, so don't hate me on this, but I'm wanting to get into catfishing from the kayak. And I've been YouTubing like crazy, and I know nothing about, I mean, what do you do if you catch a 50 or 60 pound flathead? You know, I guess I'd have to go to the bank with it, but.
Yeah, they've got tournaments in that, though. There's some guy here in Kentucky, Ryan, something's his name. I've seen him on social media that's fishing a bunch of the catfish tournaments. I don't know.
Is he doing the kayak?
Yeah, he's in a kayak.
Man, I need to get up with him.
You really got to add some support to those rod holders. That's one thing I see them on YouTube.
The biggest one I've caught out of the kayak so far has been 10 pounds, which, you know, I was on a bait caster, so it was a fight no matter what.
And,
but I couldn't imagine having a 30, 40-pound fish pulling. With a pedal driver, a trolling motor, you know, that thing, you know, it's putting some power. You know, that fish is jerking you around, probably, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't pay lake fish much. I did it a couple of years ago, or right before I got injured, about 3 years ago. I did it with some guys just to fellowship, hang out. We went out to a pay lake, and biggest catfish I ever caught, I think, was like 9-10 pounds. And I was pumped. They were like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But they catch 30 and 40-pound catfish. And I'm like, man, I was ecstatic. Like, I just caught a 50-inch muskie or something, you know. They're like, yeah, it's a good one. And I'm thinking, what? This is a beast. But, I can't imagine. Hooking up on one on bass gear, you know, in a kayak. I mean, even a 10-pounder, like you said, would be an absolute blast. So, yeah, it's something.
It took me probably 4 or 5 minutes to get that 10-pounder in.
You know, and I loved getting your question off with catfish. You know, that's me. If I've got to pick my favorite fish, it's a smallmouth and a ripper. Okay. I mean, without a doubt. But man, I love getting on some big old bluegill or some big slab crappie. Going out of the night with a catch or cruising the flats and catching them. You know, carp fishing is becoming popular. You know, there's carp fishing tournaments. Did you know that Del Hollow Lake is one of the top trophy carp lakes in the world?
I did not know that.
Yes. I didn't know this till the other night. This is true. So, you know, man, there's just an abundance of great fish that are fun out there. And if you've got a little competitive spirit to you, you know, there's a tournament out there for you.
Yeah. Another thing I want to do, it's on my bucket list real quick. We'll get back to the topic at hand is I'm looking to sturgeon fish from the kayak. Now, I've caught them from the bank. Everybody that I've talked to, the catfishes and sturgeon fishes, tells me, you know, a 20-pound sturgeon fights harder than a 20-pound cat. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say a 20-pound sturgeon will outpull a 50-pound cat, you know, but because I know they fight hard too. Hooking up on the 48, the 49, and the 51-inch, and then that one that was real big that, I mean, for here, it's just an unreal fight. Seems like they get right under you, and then you just can't move them. And being from the bank, I can't imagine from the kayak, you know, because they don't run hard. But now they'll break water like a bass and everything else, but they're just solid muscle and they'll just lay there. And it's like, well, who are you? Who do you think you are trying to pull me up to you? You know, but one thing I want to do, you need to go with me. I'm going to go down to Wolf Creek Dam, catch the water right. And we can run up toward the dam, anchor off and sturgeon fish. And that's one thing I'm going to do, probably toward the end of summer. So you're more than welcome to go with me. We'll go down there.
Let me know, man, and we'll try to make it happen. I'd definitely be down to try it.
I saw a big one that was caught there. Someone on social media on one of the sites I followed posted one here. Oh, it's been a few weeks ago. Big fish.
That's probably my buddy Steve. We caught two big ones that night.
It's awesome to catch a dinosaur, and that's basically what you're doing, you know?
Night crawlers, of all things. It's like night crawlers, which I use cut bait sometimes too, but – you know, throw a couple night crawlers on a hook, you know, try to cover it up where they can't really feel it. And they'll peck like bluegill. You don't have to open your bell or leave your drag on. I leave my reel locked and they'll just sit there and pop, 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 pop. And you know they're hitting it. And then it's like, okay, you go over there and feel it. When you feel them put in their mouth, set the hook, and then it's game on.
I was watching a guy last night on YouTube, and they were fishing for carp on Delhalla, and they took sweet corn, panko breadcrumbs, and a red jello, and mixed this together where it's a dough consistency, and they take a big lead weight, and they just form that around there. They take a hook, put a little fake piece of corn over it, put that into that dough mixture, and they were catching 36-pound carp.
Well, I know with the cicadas out, too, I know a lot of people out, you know, a little western Kentucky. I don't, where I'm at, do y'all have cicadas?
No, I'm not saw any.
No. I know towards Louisville and that way, they've got them up there. But northern Kentucky, down here in southern Kentucky, I haven't seen one.
Georgetown, I haven't heard one. Now, we went to, a couple weekends ago, we went to the zoo in Louisville. And before you even pulled in the parking lot, windows up, radio going a little bit, you could hear them. Sorry if that busted your eardrums, but you could hear them. And I was like, my wife was like, what is that? I said, cicadas. She goes, what is that? And I was like, those bugs that hatch, like there's different breeds of them. I think some hatch every 8 years, some hatch, but this is the big one. This is the, you know, the 17 year.
The brood eggs or something like that. I think they call that one.
Yeah. I don't know. I know there's a lot of them. When we got out of the car, my little boy was freaking out because it was all over the place. They were flying on him. And I was like, man, won't hurt you. You know, and I picked one up, was showing him, and it was making that sound. And I was like, you hear that? And I was like, that's the sound of like a billion of them. Right. And I felt so sorry for those workers at Louisville Zoo because we were there about 2.5-3 hours, and my ears were felt like they were going to bleed. And these people were out there all day, every day. I'm like, there's no way I'd have to wear earplugs. Like, I really would. I'd have to wear earplugs.
That's their whole home, right? You know, that's Louisville in general. You know, everybody's house, everywhere's.
Yeah.
You know, there's no relief. You can't just go home. It's at home, too.
Yeah, yeah. So the cicada bite has caused, I guess it's good for the turkey, but it's also good for the fishing. And I know guys that will use them to fish. There's a YouTube video. I don't want to get his channel wrong. It's either Kayak Catfish or Catfish Kayak, Kayak Catfish, something like that. But he was using a little rebel crawdad that was the same color and size, a little tiny one, as a cicada.
I got one of those.
Okay. Well, see, he was throwing it. He was sight fishing for carp, and he would throw it near him and just kind of barely jig it on top of the water, and it looked like a cicada. And they would come up and smoke it, and he was catching carp like crazy using a little rebel crawdad doing that.
Yeah, you take those little weak crawls that have got that right color, and you can tear them up, no doubt about
it. It makes me wish we had
carp with corn, you know, a little piece of corn on the hook, and you know, which I mean, I've never targeted carp other than that playing as a kid.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it makes me wish we kind of had some cicadas here. I don't know if they'll hatch here or how it works, but it would be nice to have that going on here so I could kind of, and I'm sure if I went and grabbed some and brought them back, I could catch fish with them. But if they were really flourishing like there and hatching like they were there here, I'm sure it would be a lot easier to catch some of these carp and on top water and, you know, some other species as well.
You mentioned something too, man. We should have some fat turkeys in those areas next year. You know, they're loving those.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We'll get back on subject. Sorry about that. But listen, you get me talking fishing. I'll just rabbit trail and talk for hours. But, let's talk a little bit about what you guys have to offer at your shop. I know you said kayaks. I know you said, which I think is awesome that you wanted to, provide kayaks made in America. But what's the brands that you have again?
We have, you know, if it's USA made or if it's local, that's a special thing for us. Okay. Unfortunately, and this really came to light during COVID. Man, there's just a lot of stuff that we should be making here that we're not. And I hope and I really think we're going to see that turn around. So unfortunately, you know, especially when you come to fishing tackle, a lot of it's not made here, but we have one local tackle maker, and I'll throw this name out if you need to edit it out. That's fine.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
LCL, Lindsay, Lures.
that have just been doing a super job on Nolan. They have a Saturday night tournament here. And last night the guy come in second. That's what he was fishing. Tim's fished their bladed jigs a lot. Just a great product. Yak Attack, you know, which are synonymous with kayak accessories, which we're a Yak Attack dealer. Those products are made in the USA. We're a Yak Gadget dealer. If you know JT, John Thomas, which, we carry, Yak Gadget products. We're the authorized Garmin dealer for the area. Fishing tackle wise, you know, all of your big names, Lou's, Abu Garcia, Zebco, Guggen Baits, Zoom, Yamamoto, Spro, Rapala, Rapala, however you're going to say it.
Yeah.
You know, you name it, we pretty much got it. I think we have a really impressive line of a fishing tackle. And we've tried to listen to our customers. You know, hey, what do you guys want? What do you fish with? What do you want to see us carry? And that's how we build our inventory up there, which is tough. For example, Zoom, every Monday morning for years, they came out with a custom color list. That's the custom colors they were going to run for a given week that you could order, because their color list is just enormous. Well, a few weeks ago, we got an email and they have discontinued their custom color pours until at least 2022 or maybe 2023 because of the shortage. So, you know, it's really affecting what we can get and what we stock. Then we also have Malone, which there again is another USA made company, and Malone carries your kayak storage and transportation items, you know, everything from kayak trailers, which we have in stock, to foam blocks to put your canoe on top of the car, and, wheels and carts to put on your canoe and pull it up the bank. So, you know, a really good line there. Life jackets, Carlisle paddles. Like I said, I really feel good about all of the accessories and things we have for kayaks and canoes. And you'll have to drive a piece to find a better selection than what we've gotten. And we're really proud of that.
Yeah. And you said, to reiterate again, Old Town and what was the other one?
Ocean.
Ocean.
Old Town and Ocean Kayaks, which Old Town is the oldest, I guess, canoe maker we've got, which Old Town is 122 years old this year, you know, which Johnson Outdoors owns them now, but they are still made in Old Town, Maine. So, you know, and one thing you just don't see, not only in this industry, but in any industry this day and time, Old Town has a lifetime hull warranty, as does Ocean. So that's extremely, we think that's extremely valuable.
Yeah.
I don't know of any more. I'm not going to say there's not, but right, there's not many that offer that. And then on their pedal drive system, they have a 5-year warranty on that. I think that's the longest in the industry also. So yeah, really stands behind their items. And we are also very proud of Old Town that the Bass Kayak Nation tournament this past week was won by an Old Town pro staffer, as was the one last year. So we're very proud of that.
Oh, nice.
Classic other day.
Yeah.
Classic. Yeah.
Nice.
He had 112
inches. Yeah, over 100 inches of fish. So yeah, pretty impressive.
I think that's one day tournament.
Yeah.
It's been turning.
Yeah.
It's like
a one day tournament, 112 inches.
Yeah.
That's what he had on that day. Yeah. He had 200 something inches total.
208 was a 2-day total.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. And I think he broke the single day record there.
Right.
112.
$20,000 first place payout. Pretty impressive for fishing. And let me add this, and I don't know the gentleman. I am not going to even, you may remember the name, Nicholas. I shared this. The guy that came in second place, to show you how tight-knit this community is, the guy that won second or third place at a $5,000 check, okay, it's a pretty good check for fishing a kayak bass tournament. One of the other competitors, his son has got a disease that there's no known cure for. Okay. And there's like 7 other children in the world that's got this disease now. That's how rare it is. And this guy that won this $5,000 check, and these are average people that fish these tournaments, guys. These aren't rich folks. Okay. They're just like all of us. He turned around and gave his $5,000 winning check to this man for his son. And that just shows you the heart and what this community is that we call Kayak.
Oh yeah. I'll probably get his last name wrong. I don't know if it's McElroy or McElroy.
Right.
I read that article this morning. I'm not going to lie and say that I didn't actually tear up a little bit just seeing that and just the love that somebody, I don't know if he knew the guy or not, but just having that compassion for another angler and the situation he was in. That's awesome. Seems like a really good guy. I don't know him. To read that story of him giving his check to the other angler for that, it was awesome.
Yeah, that's one thing I really like about the kayaking too is just, you know, everybody you meet at the tournaments and stuff, you know, everybody's friendly pretty much for the most part. It ain't, you know, like going out in the boat sometimes, man, you know, there's some real dudes out there in the boat tournaments at times.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and you know, it's like you just said, I have yet to fish a kayak tournament where I've had somebody be a punk to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's happened. I'm not saying it's not, but launching from these boat ramps with random anglers, you know, just you meet guys, you just conversate. I've never had anybody be a jerk. They may be short talked or be in their zone. I try not to conversate too much. I'm a talker though, you know, so you know, I start talking to somebody. They may be in the zone thinking about the tournament they're going to fish. You know, we're all going to fish that day. And that's cool. I get it, but I've not had anybody be like, you know, a complete jerk to me or anything like that. So and I think it says a lot about the kayak community.
Mm-hmm.
But, so yeah, you guys are like, Tony, you guys are like a one-stop shop having all this stuff to offer because somebody doesn't have to go here, go there. It's really cool to be able to kind of run in there, grab some baits, maybe some kayak gear if you need some or, you know.
Well, and we've tried, like I said, we've listened to our customers. One item that was very random. We had several customers said, hey, what about bulk bungee cord? Because, you know, all kayaks are covered with bungee cord. They said, man, we just can't buy that anywhere bulk to where we can buy what we want. So we found the supplier and we've got bungee cord that you can buy by the foot. That's something we, you know, we're trying like on Yak Attack. You know, we're carrying, there's some brands out there that have some proprietary items, you know, and we're trying, even though we don't stock those kayaks, we're trying to carry those items and, you know, replacement parts for our Old Town boats and, you know, just things that you don't find a lot of other places.
Yeah. Tim, I know you fished quite a few events. If you can think back, I know you fished a lot, but is there an event that kind of sticks out to you and maybe it was one of your favorite events?
I don't know if one particular is my favorite. You know, I mean, any of them I do good at, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
I try to forget any of the bad ones. But, like, you know, fishing No Land last year, here fishing at the home lake, you know, I always like to fish there. So, you know, I guess that's one of, you know, my favorites there just because, you know, it's my home lake and I enjoy fishing there all the time. So, you know, getting to fish there during the series, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm still struggling because I've said this a million times. My listeners probably get sick of me saying that there's not a lot of lakes I've fished in Kentucky. You know, being fairly new to central Kentucky, that is, you know, so there's a lot of lakes I've fished. Nolan's one of them. Or Nolan, I guess they pronounce it. I'm Southern West Virginia, so I pronounce everything wrong, but, it's one lake that I actually was looking forward to fishing. And then there's a couple others that was like Barron River. I wanted to fish Barron River, obviously wasn't able to, but I'm excited to hopefully get back into it pretty soon. I guess I can root for you, Tim, until I get back in the, I'll pull for you till I get back fishing. Then I got to wish bad on you again, but no.
I understand.
No. What is your favorite lake to fish? Would it be Nolan?
I guess so. You know, just cause it's so close. I can be at probably 5 different ramps on Nolan in under a half hour from my house. So, you know, I really like Kentucky Lake. I don't get to fish a whole lot, which, you know, I don't know. I haven't been down there since the whole carp and threadfin deal and stuff, so I don't know how the fishing even is down there right now.
Right.
I know that lake took a pretty hard beating with that deal. So.
Yeah. I was talking to that bow fishing guide, and he said, and once again, I hope I'm not getting this completely wrong, but he said something about they had opened up bow fishing tournaments for Asian carp originally on a Kentucky lake, but said they were slaying Asian carp, and then said, I guess I'm not going to say it's taken care of, because I don't think it'll ever be taken care of. It'll be really hard to really eradicate Asian carp there.
Yeah, but they reproduce so fast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's awful. But I think he said eventually they kind of, you could include maybe some carp species and maybe drum or something in there with it. So he said originally it was like a straight just Asian carp bow fishing tournaments they would have, and it was pretty big payouts. And he'd done this for like 5-6 years, so he was pretty knowledgeable with bow fishing in Kentucky.
Yeah, I'd actually seen some of that back when they were doing that. Man, they were hauling in like big old John boats, just full round, wow, mounted off of fish.
Wow,
you know, crazy number. And I don't know, they would go by weight, and you know, it's just as much weight as you could load. I think's how they done it. You know, and them boats, I've seen pictures of them, like, you know, just as high as you can stack fish on them. They're probably just about taking on water coming in.
You wouldn't want a kayak for that tournament.
No.
But that's awesome. See, how far are you guys from Kentucky Lake?
Well, about 2 hours, a little over two and a half hours, depending on where you're going. You know, this end of the lake.
Yeah.
Now, it runs way down into Tennessee, so you know, it can be a several-hour drive down through there.
See, Kentucky
runs,
Lake.
Kentucky Lake runs like 100 miles, I think.
Yeah, Kentucky Lake and Lake Barkley. I've not fished those either, but I'm going to make the trip soon. Mm-hmm. My buddy fished the KBF National, I think it was on Kentucky Lake a couple of years back.
It was on Kentucky, yeah.
He said there was like, he's seen it. I don't want to get this number wrong. I probably will, but it was like 800 anglers or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was
really high.
Yeah, he said he was worried that it was going to be just a complete, I guess for lack of a better term, crap show. He said it was going to be so populated with anglers. He said 2 days, I didn't see another kayak. He said that goes to show you just how big Kentucky Lake is.
Yeah, my dad used to take me down there as a kid, and we would go several weekends in the summer every year, and I probably haven't seen half that lake. And, you know, we were in a boat every year.
So yeah.
It's massive. You know, especially if it's connected to Barkley there.
Okay.
You got a canal there.
I'd like to get you to take me down. We'll take kayaks out down there too. I need somebody to kind of show me around on some of these lakes that I've never fished before. I guess under the table pay you. I don't know if that's illegal. Maybe I won't. maybe I won't pay you. I'll just edit that out on the podcast. But now I want to talk a little bit too about kind of your style of fishing. You shake. Is it okay if I say this? You shake your head. You use a shake your head a lot.
I think I
remember when we talked a few weeks back after the Cumberland event. That was the Cumberland event, right?
Yeah. That's the one me and you met up on was the Cumberland.
Yeah. I think I remember a conversation we was talking about, and you said you used to shake your head quite a bit. And this is something that I'm not using a whole lot of. You know, I started using it. Do you consider yourself more of like maybe a finesse guy? Or do you fish slow, or do you like to, as I said on a podcast, I call it running and gunning, you know, with cranking?
It just depends, man. I will start out throwing reaction strike baits a lot of times. And, you know, if I get a couple of fish on a bank, and then, you know, I'm going to want to slow down there and, you know, throw some finesse. And, then, you know, a lot of times I've figured out, it seems like to me, the bigger fish don't, you know, a lot of times they don't hit that reaction strike first time. Or, you know, you got to kind of comb back over that area a lot of times for me. It seems like there's always a bigger fish somewhere in a bank or something. If I've got two or three, especially if I get two or three bites down one certain bank, I'm going to slow down and finesse fish that a lot.
Yeah. It's really hard for me to finesse fish or to throw a shaky head. Like I'm sitting there like, you know, I don't know. It's just tough for me. It's a different style of just slowing down and doing that.
I'll catch myself sometimes if they're biting a crankbait or some spinner bait or something, you know, I'll have to kind of think about slowing down, you know, cause I don't want to keep throwing that spinner bait or whatever, you know. And sometimes it's a good idea just to keep throwing the reaction bait if they're hitting it. You know, if you got a school fired up, for sure to keep throwing a reaction bait.
Yeah.
But at least that's my, you know, take. I'm not going to claim to be a pro there, you know.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are. Well, I know I'm not, but.
Yeah, me either.
I just like fishing. Yeah, I do good to catch fish. Catching one and throwing it up there, you know, you get skunk out of the boat, you feel a little bit better about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me, I don't want to get skunked in any event I fish. If I do that, then I feel like I've done something. So, you know, but
that's kind of my first goal as well, is just not to get skunked and, you know, hope for a good day.
Yeah. So do you fish much outside of Kentucky?
I have a little bit, but not, you know, not in the recent years. I haven't been to, you know, I started having kids a few years ago, and that kind of cuts down on the long trips there. But, you know, I'd like to step up and fish some of the bigger series later on. But, you know, I want to get a little more comfortable with the smaller one, you know, hone in some skills, I guess, maybe to get better and try to step up to maybe some of the other events.
Yeah. It's definitely a process, and it's something that there's been very few that really dive into the tournament scene and do well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a process. Real quick, if you guys want to plug, real quick, I know you, Tony, you plugged your social media site. Tim, if you as well want to plug like your Facebook and Instagram for listeners, they can follow you.
Okay. Yeah. It's basically everything is pretty much Tim88 Fishing. Okay. You know, Instagram's Tim88 Fishing, YouTube, and I haven't put a whole lot of I've been filming content all year this year. I need to sit down and do some editing. And I'm going to try to grow the channel there and see where it goes. Just go from there, I guess. You know, I don't really, hopefully, you know, I'd like for it to grow into a big, successful channel, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't realize the time it takes into editing too. It's a busy time of year right now. It's, you know, it's hardcore 100% fishing season. And, you know, my buddy Cameron Pallets, he's got a YouTube channel, and it's tough for him, you know, to get some content out there, and he does well with it, but it's a lot of time and a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. You know, me and him had conversations before where he's got hours and hours and hours and hours of content recorded and just trying to find time to edit.
That's kind of how I'm setting, you know, I've got a lot of content recorded, and, you know, and some of it every now and then you'll have sound issues, you know, with the sound issues and stuff, like especially out there with GoPros and stuff, wind and like that. And, you know, so editing all that and getting good content, you know, something that I want to release there. That's kind of part of my deal. I'm kind of picky with what I want to release and whatnot with my sound. I had some sound issues early with some of my videos, so kind of got that solved now, and I'm trying to work on getting some good content.
Well, I'll tell one of myself that I'm really depressed about. Went into West Virginia last weekend to see family and came back, and I can't find my GoPro. It's not at my mom and dad's. It's not here. So, you know, I love my dad. Not trying to say he's slowly starting to lose his mind. He's not, but he'll get forgetful sometimes. And, you know, he's mid-70s. He still gets around better than I do. I'm wondering if maybe... It was in a plastic Walmart bag, and I'm wondering if maybe I'm going to blame it on him because I don't want to say I may have done it. But no, so I think somebody in the process of us packing up and coming back maybe threw it in a bag we had for trash. So if that's the case, I don't know. I've searched high and low, cannot find my GoPro, and it's really depressing to have like 15 batteries and a bunch of SD cards and GoPro and a few mounts, and now I can't find it. So, no content for me right now. So, which works. Maybe I'll get another one before I'm healed up. But
we hope to eventually, you know, once the flow of product is better, maybe start to do some unboxings and, you know, some things of that nature with kayaks. Which Tim is much more savvy with that stuff, which I got a new fisheye Tacticam, and I let Tim have it. He's been messing with it some, so I'll have to lean on him for some of that because that's over my head.
Yeah, I'm not real tech savvy either. I do good to, you know, record on a GoPro and cut whatever I want out and throw it on Facebook. So, but guys, this is really good to have you guys on. Tony, is there any future plans for the shop? Is there other products you're hoping to maybe bring in?
We really hope that we're going to see manufacturing, you know, get back to more of a normal flow. I really do still believe we're going to see increases in the industry as far as demand. And I don't think we're going to see the supply issues again this year or next year, but I hope it will be better. So we're hoping that we can bring a few more brands in the shop. Like I said, we've been working with several different ones. So hopefully we can bring in at least two or three more new brands. You know, and like I said, just stop in and see us. We love to have customers, you know, regardless if you buy anything or not. We'll pick your brain and get a little information off of you, and hopefully you can leave us with some tidbits of wisdom that will help. We listen.
Awesome. Well,
Tony, my sunglasses have been kind of cocksideways here.
Well, I'm probably not going to use the video. It makes it a lot better for conversation, you know.
Right. Yeah, I understand. I just happened to look over at myself in the video there and realize my sunglasses are about halfway crooked on my head.
I thought it was a puppy. I didn't know what it was. Okay.
That's great. Guys, listen, it's been a blast. Tony, Tim, appreciate you guys. For those of you listening, check out Kayaks and More. They got a Facebook page, kayaksandmoreonline.com, right?
Correct.
Check them out. It's tough right now with the inventory, getting kayaks in, but, you know, I guess you can order your kayak from you guys still, right?
Anything that's ordered now will be 2022 before it gets in. Normally in our industry, you put in orders for spring in October. We've actually got to try to get our order for 2022 put in the next week or so. Wow. I talked to our broker last night and he said, hey, I really need to get your all's 2022 order in. So it's tough, but it's fun. It's challenging. Stop in and see us. We're just a little mom and pop kayak shop. We're old country folks. We're as country as cornbread and sweet tea, but we'll treat you so many different ways. You'll have to love one of them.
You're making me hungry. Guys, stop in and see Kayaks and More. See Tony and Kim. Follow them on Facebook. Be sure to follow Timothy Howard, Tim88 Fishing, right?
Yep.
Give him a follow. Got some good fishing content. We'll try to beat him in an event this year. So wish me luck with that. But no, appreciate you guys being on the podcast. And look forward to hanging out with y'all and come down and see in the shop.
Thanks, Nicholas. Appreciate you.